compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. You know me, I don't like to bring you bad news. I like to bring you good news. And today I've got some great news. Oh, we talked yesterday about the good news yesterday, about the Texas law that essentially eliminates abortion after 6 weeks. 6 weeks is when you can detect a heartbeat. And so it effectively shut down abortion for all intents and purposes in the great state of Texas. Victory. V for victory. And we talked about that yesterday. Well, I think, Cyrus, did you pull that audio that I asked you for of me talking about this yesterday? Because I made a prediction yesterday, and I didn't realize it would happen as quickly as it did. Do you have that audio, Cyrus?
I do. We can do a little time travel back to yesterday.
Okay, so here's yesterday. If you heard the show, you heard me say this. This gets back to something that we talked about in the run-up to the election. And just more importantly, as new justices were being named to the Supreme Court, three of them, amazingly, in the last 4 years, and the frenzy and the fury and the implacable spittle-flecked efforts to try to block these nominees from getting on the Supreme Court. And as you've heard me say before, Cyrus, I believe it's all about abortion, because they want to keep Roe versus Wade at all costs. And the chance that maybe Roe versus Wade could be overturned, it's just they cannot imagine a world in which that could be true. So we're going to find out. I'm just putting that out there right now. Justice Amy Coney Barrett, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Gorsuch, those three, are going to let us know when the time comes, and I suspect it will come sooner rather than later, when a challenge is raised to this particular law in Texas. Now, either the Supreme Court could say, we're going to decline to hear that case. We're not going to hear it if it goes up the food chain. Or if they decide to hear it, that could be the beginning of the end for Roe versus Wade, if they were to rule in favor of this. So keep an eye on this situation. Keep an eye on what's going on in Texas. And by all means, keep an eye on the Supreme Court justices. We already know who will vote which way for the other ones, the ones that have been there before. Although Justice, what's his name? The Chief Justice, John Roberts. It's hard to say. He's kind of a wild card. Hard to say what he will do. But I'm very interested in seeing what the three new Supreme Court justices will do. Ha ha! So it happened faster than I thought it would, but it happened. And that is that overnight, it's being reported this morning that the Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to listen. We're not going to hear this case. So lots to talk about there. I want to share with you.
That's making some people very unhappy. I mean, it's making Relevant Radio listeners ecstatic, but there are some other people that might not be listening. They're not so happy this morning.
I'll bet you Planned Parenthood, probably not in the happiest mood today. I'll bet you, what's her name, the former queen of Corpse Mountain, Dr. Lena Wen.
Yep, she's not happy.
I bet she's not happy. She'll probably be all over CNN today. I'll bet you and I love saying this, the ex-governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, I'll bet he's not happy. And he's not happy for a variety of reasons. I'm sure this is one. And also, he's probably unhappy because since he's no longer governor, he can't press that button and turn the New York City skyline pink in honor of abortion anymore. That probably frustrates him. So, okay, so reportage. I want to cover it from a variety of different perspectives. This here, liberals furious after Supreme Court refuses to block the Texas abortion law in a 5-4 vote. Somebody pointed out on Twitter this morning, I forget who it was, that the way it's being reported in the mainstream press is that it was a sharply divided vote. And yet, in other Supreme Court votes, like was it Obergefell versus Hodges? I never know how to pronounce that. The one on deciding the redefinition of marriage. As I recall, I think it was the same number, and that wasn't called a sharply divided vote. But they're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at this. One day after allowing Texas Heartbeats Bill, the most restrictive abortion law passed in the U.S. since the dawn of Roe versus Wade, to take effect, the Supreme Court has declined to block the law, which bars abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected, usually around the sixth week mark. The court's nighttime order, which arrived just before midnight, in I love the drama. I just love this drama. Now, if it had gone the other way, I would have probably not liked the drama, but I like it. I like this kind of drama. So it arrived just before midnight in the form of a single paragraph and rejected an emergency request by clinics and abortion rights advocates. It marks a turning point in the legal battle over abortion rights. Yes, it does. While not a final ruling on the measure's constitutionality, the court's action validates, at least temporarily, a novel attempt by Texas lawmakers to insulate anti-abortion legislation from the court challenge. The novel strategy here is Texas's decision to charge private persons with enforcement of the law, making it more difficult for pro-choice activists to halt enforcement of the law by suing parties responsible for enforcement. The unsigned order was approved 5-4 in a vote, with most of the conservative justices in the majority, with Chief Justice John Roberts joining the court's three liberal justices in opposition. So once again, remember I said yesterday he was a wild card. You never know what this guy's going to do. Sometimes he gets it right, sometimes he doesn't. Well, here he didn't get it right, but at least he wasn't with the majority. So, you know, put an asterisk next to Chief Justice John Roberts' name whenever you're thinking in terms of a pro-life issue. In the unsigned explanation, the court's majority added that the decision was, quote, not based on any conclusion about the constitutionality of Texas law, and it allowed, therefore, the legal challenges to proceed. The court issued four separate dissents, though the liberal justices took turns co-signing on their colleagues' dissenting opinions, along with the majority opinion penned by Justice Neil Gorsuch, explaining that abortion providers raised, and this is a quote, raised serious questions regarding the constitutionality of the Texas law at issue. But the court went on to say that continuing litigation over the abortion restrictions raised, quote, complex and novel questions about legal procedures that undercut the provider's request to halt the ban now. So Planned Parenthood says, we want to do abortions. Come on, we got money to make here. Please get out of our way. And the state of Texas says, no. No, we're not. You're not going to do that after 6 weeks. Catholic Vote has got a couple of good articles on this as well. By a 5-4 vote, the United States Supreme Court rejected an emergency request to block the Texas new pro-life law. The decision permits the Texas law, which outlaws abortion after 6 weeks, to stay in place. Justices Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, I guess we'll say her whole name, voted in the majority. So they're on the winning team. Justices Roberts, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan, no big surprise there, dissented. Roberts would have blocked the law, at least temporarily, citing procedural reasons in his vote to prevent the Texas law from going into effect. Pro-abortion groups have pursued a number of legal avenues in order to block the law ahead of its taking effect on September the 1st, which was yesterday. My wife's birthday. What a nice birthday present for my lovely wife, Nancy. When their efforts failed, the commentators on both sides of the abortion issue granted profound significance to the new law, which comes very close to banning abortions outright in an entire state. The new pro-life law also takes effect against the backdrop of a Mississippi abortion case that will go before the Supreme Court later this year. Pro-life activists are hoping that the court rules in favor of Mississippi, which could represent a breakthrough for the pro-life movement, creating the necessary legal grounds for states to begin undoing. I love it. For states to begin undoing the abortion-favoring framework of Roe versus Wade. In response to the Supreme Court's decision late Wednesday night, liberal MSNBC host Chris Hayes commented, Am I nuts, or is every red state going to pass and sign a carbon copy of the Texas law in the next week? Well, Mr. Hayes, I suppose one can only hope. One other article about this. Do we have audio? I think we've got some audio of Jen Psaki, the press secretary, talking about this.
Yeah, we should circle back to that.
Let's circle back to that. Let's circle back now.
All right, yeah, the White House is...
That would be a great band name, by the way. Forget Nickelback.
Circle Back.
Nobody likes Nickelback, but what about Circle Back? That would be a great band name.
Well, I was just curious, what was our devout Catholic president? You know, how was he going to respond?
He's devoutly Catholic, you know. They keep reminding us of how devoutly Catholic he is.
Yeah, they sure do.
All right. So, yeah, what do we have here? This is Jen Psaki.
This is her.
This morning, right?
And this is, yeah, and she's talking. Well, she can speak for herself.
All right. Go for it.
It's extreme. Texas law blatantly violates the constitutional right established under Roe v. Wade and upheld as precedent for nearly half a century. It will significantly impair women's access to the health care they need, particularly for communities of color and individuals with low incomes. It also deputizes citizens to bring lawsuits against...
Note what she just said. It significantly impacts people of color... The reason this significantly impacts people of color, and by the way, it really, really impacts those unborn people of color because it's a new lease on life. But the reason she's saying something that's true, but not for the reason that I think she wants us to believe, and that is it significantly impacts people of color because that's where the big abortion clinics go. They know they can make a ton of money in the black community. They know they can make a ton of money in the Hispanic community. So they disproportionately depopulate the black community, the Hispanic community, and others. When you compare the in terms of the statistics and the rate of abortion, you know, in terms of the ratios between the various groups. Now, obviously, in the United States, the various racial groups are represented by a percentage of the whole, and they're not all the same, obviously. Some are much smaller than others, but the ratio of how many people are being put to death through abortion in, say, the black community is proportionately far higher than it is in the white community. So I just draw your attention to this fact that what she's saying is true, and she doesn't intend for this, you know, realization perhaps to set in, but it is true because they prey upon disproportionately higher. They prey upon black community, Hispanic community, and other communities. Okay, let's continue. Do we have more of, I mean, is there much more of this? Or is this?
Let's keep going. I wouldn't be surprised if you want to jump in again.
Is she channeling President Biden? Because I haven't heard this audio yet. Is she quoting him, or what is she saying here?
I think she's his mouthpiece.
She's issuing his statement.
That's how I understand it.
Okay. All right. Let's proceed, sir.
It also deputizes private citizens to bring lawsuits against anyone who they believe has helped another person get an abortion, which might even include family members, healthcare workers, front desk staff at a healthcare clinic, or strangers with no connection to the individual. So our focus and the president's focus is to reiterate our deep commitment to the constitutional right, of course, established by Roe v. Wade nearly five decades ago, and to continue to call for the codification of Roe. This is not the first threat to Roe we've seen in a state across the country. It's an extreme threat. And again, I would just note, this is offering up to $10,000 to individuals who report someone who is going to get an abortion. I mean, that is what we're talking about here.
I wonder, Cyrus, if this administration would be okay with maybe ramping it up for people to report somebody who's not vaccinated. You know, if it gets to that point and, hey, that guy's not vaccinated. Okay, here's $10,000. I mean, that stuff goes on in China. I wonder if that would be okay with them. But here's the thing. Number one, they talk about the constitutionality. The original version of the U.S. Constitution included a provision for slavery. Okay, so let's just start there. It didn't use the word slavery, but it referred to the preservation and the protection of the importation of persons. And that's referring to slavery. Now, obviously, that was constitutional. It was constitutional at one time for slavery to be protected legally. And just because they wave that magic word around, well, it's not constitutional, or it is constitutional. Constitutional rights. Well, there was a time when slave owners in the United States had constitutional rights to own black people. And I'm pretty sure that Jen Psaki and our devout Catholic president, Joe Biden, would agree that that was a terrible infringement upon human liberty, and it was rightfully overthrown, as was the peculiar institution of slavery in general. It was protected in various ways in the courts, up to and including, in a certain kind of way, the Dred Scott decision by the Supreme Court in the 19th century, and that too was overthrown eventually. We had to go through a war to do that eventually. And in some ways, we're still sort of fighting that war because the people on the left want to drag us back into segregation. They want to drag us back into making everything about race the way it used to be before. We won a war and we got away from that for a time. And the people on the left want to bring us right back there again. No, they'll say that they're anti-racist. They'll say that they're the ones who are really, you know, defending racial minorities. But we can see from their actions that it's exactly the opposite. Okay, so a little bit more on this. My number is 888-914-9149. Here's how it's being reported in Yahoo. I want to do another juxtaposition. So you can see how the liberal press, the mainstream press, which is pretty much all of the mainstream press, how they cover it, and then I'll go over to another Catholic source and we'll see how they cover it. So Yahoo says, President Joe Biden on Wednesday said a new Texas law that bans abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy defies the Supreme Court's 1973 landmark decision, Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion nationwide. And here's a quote from President Biden. This extreme Texas law blatantly violates the constitutional rights established under Roe versus Wade and upheld as precedent for nearly half a century. We heard Jen Psaki saying that. The president further condemned the Texas law. Keep in mind, I mean, everything, all we ever heard in the months following the inauguration was what a devout Catholic President Biden is. And I don't know what that means. I mean, if you carry a rosary in your pocket, that's great. But if you're also promoting abortion to the hilt, that's not great. And that's not Catholic. So all the hullabaloo about how Catholic he is and how devout he is, well, does this sound like a devout Catholic speaking? He says, this new Texas law will, this is a quote from the president, will significantly impair women's access to health care they need, particularly for communities of color and individuals with low incomes. He wants abortion. He wants it. And he's perturbed that the Supreme Court is not willing to hear this case, which lends momentum to the effort to overthrow Roe versus Wade. Please God that that happens. Another snippet from his comments. This is from this morning, apparently. Or yesterday evening, I guess. He says, and outrageously, it deputizes private citizens. We heard her say this, but I'll say it again, because this is a quote from President Biden. And outrageously, it deputizes private citizens to bring lawsuits against anyone they believe has helped another person get an abortion, which might even include family members, healthcare workers, front desk staff at a healthcare clinic, or strangers with no connection to the individual. He added that his administration is, quote, deeply committed to abortion rights. And he said that he will protect and defend that right. Okay. He's a devout Catholic, I guess, whatever that means now. The word devout doesn't mean what I used to think it meant. So here's some reportage. This is from Catholic Vote. The nation's second Catholic president blasted a new pro-life law on Wednesday that banned most abortions in Texas. President Joseph Biden said in a statement that the new state ban on abortion after 6 weeks, quote, will significantly impair women's access, blah, blah, blah. The president also objected that Senate Bill 8, which Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed in May, allows pro-life advocates to sue any abortion provider or individuals who aid or abet a woman in violating the ban. You know what? We'll post links to these articles so that you can read them for yourself. A lot of it is somewhat repetitive, but this is big news, and it's all the bigger, if you ask me, because it is now moving the momentum in the right direction. And who knows what will happen at this point? I wonder if there will be a pressure campaign brought to bear on the justices on the Supreme Court to try to get them in line. And that could happen even just within the Supreme Court itself. Chief Justice Roberts, who knows, maybe he's trying to crack the whip. We'll see what happens. But back to the comments I made yesterday, not realizing that it was that was right around the corner. When I said yesterday that we will see in due time whether or not Justice Coney Barrett and Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Gorsuch, whether or not they actually live up to their touted pro-life credentials as they were being nominated and confirmed. And, you know, all other things being equal, and not knowing what else they may do in the future, at least they did the right thing in this case, for which I am very happy. And I'm glad to be able to bring that great news to you. We're going to take a break and I'll come back. My number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
You can believe in the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Call now 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now on Relevant Radio.
I mentioned that yesterday was my wife's birthday, and I posted a picture of Nancy and me on Twitter. So if you'd like to say happy birthday to the birthday girl, you'll see that picture there. Did you see that, Cyrus? I think you saw it.
I did. It's great.
Well,
yeah,
thank you.
That's, and it's always neat to see how many likes and responses you get for the for those kind of things.
It is nice.
Yeah. And hey, congratulations on 9 years with Relevant Radio and Immaculate Heart Radio.
Thank you.
That's awesome, man.
They went by very quickly. That's for sure. Well, I'm signed up for another 30, so let's see how that
good.
Goes.
Yeah, let's keep it going.
I have a question. You know me, I'm an inquisitive guy. I have a question. Who do you think, I'll start with you, Cyrus. I'd like to actually get a poll up on Twitter. I'd like to know who is more angry this morning. Well, let me share this story, and then I'll ask the question, okay? So the Taliban, and this is an article by Emily Zanotti at the Daily Wire, the Taliban are angry. They're outraged that the U.S. helicopters left behind in Afghanistan don't work. The Taliban are, quote, feeling angry and betrayed after discovering that helicopters left by the United States military after they officially pulled out of Kabul, Afghanistan, do not work, and in some cases were deliberately rendered inoperable. I'm smiling ear to ear as I'm reading this, before the military departed. An Al Jazeera reporter spoke with Taliban fighters after they entered the formerly American side of the Hamid Karzai International Airport and posted a video of the event to various social media networks, saying that the Taliban fighters expected the U.S. to leave their equipment in full working order. Gosh, though it is not clear whether the U.S. made any such promises, an Al Jazeera reporter who toured a hangar on the military side of the airport said in a video that the terrorist group, quote, expected Americans to leave helicopters like this in one piece for their use. When I said to them, why do you think that the Americans would have left everything operational for you? They said, because we believe it is a national asset and we are the government now, and this could have come in great use for us. It sure could have. Photos of the equipment posted to social media, which appear to be of the helicopters and other aircraft. I don't understand why they say it appears to be of the, they're helicopters. It doesn't appear to be a helicopter. It's a picture of a helicopter. That's just the angry editor in me. Let's see. It shows smashed indicators and gauges and destroyed control panels. The photos also seem to show that the U.S. military removed guns and other weapons from the helicopters before leaving. Can you imagine the Taliban flying a helicopter gunship? Can you imagine the mayhem that they could create with that? Worse than it already is. The Washington Post noted Tuesday that although initial reports said that the Taliban seized $85 billion in equipment left by American forces, that number accounts for all the money expended to assist the Afghan National Defense and Security Forces since 2001. Using a percentage provided by the Government Accountability Office, the Post reported that the equipment provided to the Afghan forces amounted to a mere $24 billion over 20 years. The GAO said approximately 70% of the equipment went to the Afghan army and the rest went to the national police, part of the interior ministry. So all those new toys, or at least all the helicopters, they're not working, at least there. I don't know about the rest of the country, but at least there. And so the Taliban are angry about this. So who's angrier, Cyrus? This is the question I'd like to ask you. Who do you think at this moment, this morning, is angrier? The Taliban? Because the helicopters were sabotaged, or Planned Parenthood, because their plans to continue killing unborn children were sabotaged by the great state of Texas. Who do you think is more angry?
I'm going to have to go with Planned Parenthood. They're looking at those dollar bills, and they're upset.
Yeah, don't get between Planned Parenthood and their money. They get really touchy about
this.
This is fun.
I'm going to post this on the show Twitter page. So I want to hear what you guys have to.
You're posting a poll?
A poll. So who is more angry? The Taliban.
Read me the poll. Yeah, tell me. Read
this
it
is all right. Who is more angry today? The Taliban, because the helicopters the USA left behind don't work, or Planned Parenthood because the Supreme Court refused to block the Texas pro-life law.
Yeah, that's a dead heat, I would say. And that was a great pun. I didn't intend to make that pun, but that actually works. It's a dead heat between the Taliban. I hear people saying that. They say Taliban or Taliban, like it's like a candy that you would buy in a candy shop.
Yeah, it's not candy.
No, it's not candy. So yeah, so I'd like to. So have you posted that yet on the show Twitter feed?
Right this second, it's there right now.
So please, in your kindness, go vote. Tell me who do you think is more angry. And if you want to comment in the comment section, that would be a great insight. And I'm sure we're going to have some comments of people who are saying, this isn't funny. Why are you doing blah, 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 blah. Okay. 888-914-9149. Now, I told you I like bringing you good news, and I do. But here's some on the other side of the equation. This is courtesy of the Daily Wire. Pro-life Americans, that would be you, Cyrus, are like suicide bombers. This according to a person who was a guest on MSNBC. I never thought of it that way. The mindset of pro-life advocates who prayerfully offer compassion and assistance to women outside abortion facilities is indistinguishable from the ideology of a suicide bomber, a guest told MSNBC recently. Both sidewalk counselors and militant jihadists think they have, quote, the moral duty to mess up someone's life, she said on the network's Politics Nation. She's an attorney. Her name is Jill Colleen Jefferson. She began the segment by saying she opposed lynching and the taking of innocent black lives. Host Al Sharpton then turned to the topic of abortion. Quote, as we talk about civil rights and human rights in Mississippi, I want to mention the Supreme Court is set to hear arguments about a currently blocked state law that would ban all abortions after 15 weeks, he said. The heavily poor young and black women stand to lose access to the only abortion clinic in the state. He said, it sounds as much about civil rights as abortion rights to me. Jefferson replied, yes, this is a matter of civil rights. Having the right to an abortion is a constitutional right. And by the way, I'm going to pause here. Just remember, whenever you hear that, when they wave that magic word around, it's a constitutional right. It also used to be a constitutional right for white people to own black people in slavery. So just because somebody waves the constitutional magic word around, you should not be intimidated by that. And point out that the Constitution at one time reflected and codified even the protection of slavery. Let us continue. So she says, yes, this is a matter of civil rights. Having the right to an abortion is a constitutional right. It's grounded in the right to privacy that is within the Constitution. No, it is not, madam. There is no right to privacy listed in the Constitution. Okay, little glitch in the audio there. I hope we're back to normal now. So she continues. She's saying, let's see, I find it really interesting that part of this argument is an argument about, you know, the right to an abortion is not explicitly listed in the Constitution. But you know what? Neither is the right to bear arms. yeah, it is. She says, neither is the right to bear arms. The way that we interpret that law is the interpretation of a constitutional provision, the Second Amendment, yet we're not applying that same logic to the situation. She says, what it reminds me of, quite honestly, is a suicide bomber. Someone who feels like they have the right and the moral duty to mess up somebody's life for the greater good. You know, Cyrus, I never really thought of suicide bombers as messing up people's lives. Typically, they end their lives.
Yeah.
So it's an odd choice of words, if you ask me. Just real quick, and then we'll get to some phone calls. The number again, 888-914-9149. Just a few more tidbits from this article. Read this for yourself. It's a very interesting article, and it just reflects the mentality of some people on this issue, to call them suicide bombers, just because you want to protect the lives of innocent children. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Chad in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good. Well, I read the article, and it's just an enormous outcome. I just was so happy when you think about the 100 million member RA campaign and just mm-hmm. the obvious impact that's having. It's just wonderful. If you think 5 years ago, who would have thought we'd ever be in this position? And I know it's just one state, but I think it's a clear indication, I think, of what's to come. If they're not going to hear this case, I think we have a tremendous chance that Roe versus Wade will be overturned.
I hope and pray that it will, as you can probably guess. Yes, when Father Rocky initiated that 100 million memorari campaign, and we're up to, what is it? We're doing 400 million now, I believe. That's the new goal that we're working toward. And as we expand more and more stations around the country, we can get more people involved, hence the larger number. I remember here at Relevant Radio, we were talking about that and kind of wondering out loud if the Memorare campaign was having an effect in the form of naming three new Supreme Court justices who at least ostensibly were credited as being pro-life. As of this morning, it sure looks like Justice Coney Barrett and Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Gorsuch, they seem to be fulfilling that role, at least in this regard. So that's a real encouragement. And I have to believe that Our Lady is definitely helping in ways that we can't even imagine.
Oh, it is. And I think that, I think evil saw it coming, or you would have seen such a convulsive reaction from the far left when those two justices came up for confirmation.
Right. And it's interesting to note that you remember the circus with Justice Kavanaugh's confirmation and all of the rape accusations. Well, really, there was just one, but, all of the hoopla around that. And even people who were deemed to be witnesses, they said, no, that didn't happen. I didn't see that happen. Or, she wasn't at that party. Or, there were all sorts of people who were allegedly there who would have had something to say. And as far as I'm aware, none of them backed her up. And he came this close to not being confirmed because of that. And yet, I mean, I hate to bring this up, but it's a matter of public record. During the campaign, the primary campaign for the Democrat candidates for the presidency, you may remember that a certain Kamala Harris on the stage in one of those debates, she said to Joe Biden, she said, I believe your accusers, the women who have accused you of doing these things. I believe them. I think that they're right. And how the wind has, the direction of the wind has changed. And now she's the vice president. Riddle me this. How did that happen? So the same or even maybe more egregious charges were raised against now President Biden, and nobody cared. Nobody said a word about it. Nobody did anything. And the reason, as you know, Chad, that there was such furor and frenzy about Kavanaugh was because they realized that this is inching closer and closer to a potential pro-life majority on the bench, which could eventually overturn Roe versus Wade. So they were apoplectic about that. And they didn't really care so much about what Kamala Harris said about then Vice President Biden.
Well, and I think it all boils down to as well that they're willing to kill babies. They'll do anything. I mean, this is thinking that they won't come up with a false accusation or compromise their so-called principles to be vice president. Those pale in comparison. They'll kill babies. They'll do anything.
Well, let us pray for them. I don't want to wallow in the outrage. I know you don't either, Chad, but let's turn this into a positive, at least as far as we're able to, and that would be let's pray for all these people. No one is too far gone this side of eternity. Everybody still has time to repent and get on the right side. So we should be really praying for them. I appreciate the phone call, Chad. Thank you. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in beginning of verse 1, just quoting from memory here, it says, I ask that you offer prayers, petitions, intercessions, and thanksgivings for everyone, he says, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. I really love that verse. And it's a reminder to you and to me to pray for our elected leaders, even if you didn't vote for them, maybe especially if you didn't vote for them. Pray for them nonetheless. Pray that God will enlighten their minds and help them to do the right thing. That's so important. And without our prayers, heaven help us. It's hard to even imagine how things could be if it weren't for good sincere people who are praying for a better outcome. I have to take another break, but we're coming back to your phone calls. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Have a question?
Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
All right. What a day. Lots of big news today. I'd like to talk to you. My number is 888-914-9149. Let's go over to Bunny now in Missouri. Hi, Bunny.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Thanks for calling.
I just had to laugh whenever I heard you comment about the Taliban, because I just said to my husband 2 nights before that, listen to him. He called them the Taliban, like a little kid called Santa Claus, Santa Claus. And so I just want to say, I agree with you.
I know. And, you know, like I've been saying, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. So I do a lot of laughing lately. But, yeah, I hear people on the news and I hear even in the government referring to them as the Taliban. It's like, what?
Really?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Okay, that's all. I just really want to say that and tell you that all I right. enjoy your show.
Thanks so much, Bunny. What part of Missouri are you in? Fenton. Are you in the St. Louis area?
You have somebody that works for you, Jim.
Yeah.
And it turns out we live real close to each other.
Oh. Wow. What a small world. Well, Bunny, thank you. And thanks for calling in. It's nice to share a lighthearted moment, isn't it? Oh, and if you want to vote in that poll that Cyrus put up on Twitter, it's there. Who's more angry this morning? The Taliban, because the U.S. helicopters left behind in Kabul were smashed and they don't work now. And I mean, they were planning to go joyriding. You know that. So they're unhappy. But Planned Parenthood is also really unhappy because the Supreme Court declined to hear a case against the new Texas law that prohibits abortion after 6 weeks, which is awesome. So, yeah, who's more angry? Cyrus, do we have any bites on that poll yet? Is anybody commenting? What does it say?
Oh, I was just looking for some more audio from the White House. Let me jump over to Twitter.
Oh, okay, Kate. Well, I don't want to interrupt you. I know we have – there's a kind of a new wrinkle in all this that the White House is calling on Congress to codify Roe versus Wade in law nationally. I'm sure they're fearing that Roe versus Wade could be overturned, and I hope and pray that that does happen. So, yeah, whenever you have that audio, just let me know. I'd appreciate that. 888-914-9149. You know, as long as we're getting some of the political stuff out of the way, I don't like to talk about politics. I really don't. Sometimes you can't avoid it because it's intertwined with the news of the day, as is this particular story.
Sorry, I have to interrupt.
Yeah.
So 52 votes in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So far, okay.
Yeah, and this math is really easy to do. So the Taliban has 0%. So I guess that means Planned Parenthood is 100% more angry today.
So with 54 votes, I need to find this. I'm going to go look for it. I haven't looked at it yet. So with 54 votes, Planned Parenthood is ahead, 54-0,
uh-huh.
when it comes to who is angriest?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have a couple of comments here. Mike says, don't know who's angrier, but I hope Planned Parenthood's anger is perpetual.
Yeah, I do too. Boy, do I ever. That's a good point.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah, check it out when you have time. And if you haven't made your own vote, go to the Patrick Madrid Twitter feed.
What?
I don't know what it's called.
What are you saying? Well, it's the at P Madrid Show Twitter feed.
Thank you.
Oh, I just found it. Okay, so who is more angry today, the Taliban? I'm going to stop saying that because eventually I'll say it only that way, and that'll be ridiculous. The Taliban, because the helicopters the U.S. left behind don't work, or Planned Parenthood, because the SCOTUS refused to block the Texas pro-life law. So 52 votes. Yeah, you're right, 100%.
One vote. Someone just voted the Taliban.
Did that vote come in from Kabul, Afghanistan?
I don't know if I can see who voted for what.
Yeah. Maybe they're voting over in Kabul.
You know, that I got that vote right when you signed in. So I'm starting to think maybe it was you.
No, I haven't voted. I have not voted. Okay. No. Okay. Scout's
fair,
honor.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I will not skew the scientific results, even though they're not scientific. Okay. So as I was saying, I don't like whenever I can avoid talking about politics and politicians, I try to. Because everybody just gets uptight, and I don't want that. I want everybody to be, you know, to be casual. But this ties into what happened in Afghanistan and our service members, 13 of whom were killed, not to mention all the other people who were killed and are being killed as we speak. This is an article from the Daily Wire. Nancy Pelosi blocked GOP from reading the names of slain U.S. troops. So House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat from California, if you didn't know, blocked Republican representatives from reading the names of the 13 U.S. service members who were killed in Afghanistan. And this here again, I wonder where the editors are on this. So here's how the article says that she blocked them from reading the names of 13 U.S. service members who were killed in Afghanistan on the House floor. They were not killed on the House floor. But I get the point. Representative Carlos Jimenez, Republican of Florida, he said, how badly does Nancy Pelosi want to cover up this Afghanistan debacle? They just blocked members of Congress from reading the names of the service members who sacrificed their lives in Afghanistan last week. Don't you think our military deserves better? Representative Brian Mast of Florida, a wounded combat veteran from Afghanistan, he said the same thing. He said, we gaveled in, had a prayer, said the Pledge of Allegiance, took a moment of silence with pretty much all Republican veterans, then asked to be recognized to read names and bring up Afghanistan legislation. They did not acknowledge us and just closed the House down. Fellow Republican from Florida, Representative Greg Stoob, slammed House Democrats for the same, saying House Democrats just refused to recognize Republican veterans on the House floor to read the names of our fallen service members in Afghanistan. Why wouldn't you want that? I mean, I can guess if it's embarrassing to the administration, perhaps you wouldn't want that. Some of the Gold Star families have criticized the president's conduct at the dignified transfer. A reporter, Jackie Heinrich, told the press secretary in a press conference yesterday, there was a father of one Marine who said the president shouldn't be checking his watch every time a flag-draped transport case came by the plane, and a sister of another Marine said that it felt like a fake and scripted apology. So the people who lost sons and daughters in Afghanistan are angry. And Cyrus, correct me if I'm wrong, but did I not see something that was fact-checking the issue of was President Biden checking his watch during this ceremony, and it came out saying that it was after that, not during that? Did that sound like what you had heard?
That's right. Let's see if I scroll through here. It is a quick fact check. The truth is Biden honored the service members killed in Kabul, and he did check his watch, but it was
Kabul.
Only...
Where is Kabul? Wrong? Where is Kabul?
I don't know.
Kabul?
Kabul.
Okay.
All right, thanks. And then he checked... Thanks for making me feel bad.
You're welcome.
And then he checked...
So who's angry this morning, the Taliban, Planned Parenthood, or Cyrus Simcoe? Because I just made fun of him.
I'm not angry. So he checked his watch only after the ceremony. Okay.
But to be fair, I mean, it was played up as though he was sort of like, when can I get out of here? Making it appear as though he was doing it in a disrespectful way during this event.
Yeah.
But apparently it was not during the event. In all fairness to him, it wasn't during the event. It was afterwards.
And
is that right?
We've seen these kind of photo trickery with, both sides. I've seen stuff where the left is saying Trump is doing that. And it's like, that wasn't true at all. And so here's an example of it happening to Biden. So just,
yeah, and if it didn't really happen, then we should say so. You know, we don't want to. You know, I mean, if it had happened that way, that'd be different. It would be deplorable, to coin a phrase.
Yeah, it still doesn't mean we're not upset with some of his decisions.
Yeah. People get uptight with politics, so we'll move past the politics as best we can. 888-914-9149. Did you have that audio yet, Cyrus, of Jen Psaki talking about codifying abortion into our laws?
It was actually the exact same audio that we played in the
Okay.
In the first hour.
So that's so a longer version of that where she says that. So a little bit of a footnote to that. So right now, and this I think was made, the speech was made yesterday evening, but President Biden is seeking a way to codify abortion rights, quote unquote, in our laws so that even if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, I'm assuming if that's how it works, then it would somehow still be protected because it will be enshrined in maybe an amendment to the Constitution or something like that. I don't know. But that's also something that's afoot right now. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Rosemary in Redlands, California. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to comment on the president saying Taliban instead of Taliban.
Okay.
It could change the meaning of the word. Like President Bush referred to Saddam Hussein as Saddam.
Shoeshine boy.
And So it could be that.
You know, that's a very good point. I had not thought about that. Saddam, I always used to kind of smirk when I would hear him say that. I thought he was just, you know, being, you know, kind of goofy. And everyone called him Saddam. But Saddam, as I understand it, in Arabic means shoeshine boy.
So maybe Taliban means, you know, dog catcher or something.
Oh, you know, I had not thought about that. So thank you for imparting that wisdom, Rosemary.
Okay.
But if it doesn't mean anything, let me ask you this, though. Let's say that we fact check that and we find out that Taliban or Taliban doesn't actually mean anything in Pashto. Then what do you chalk it up to? Why would they say it that way? Is it just to make fun, do you think, or what?
It could be. It could be.
Yeah.
It does seem odd that he would mispronounce it on purpose, but unless it was a good reason.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, it's one of the mysteries of the ages. I appreciate the call, Rosemary. I'm very familiar with Redlands, and I spent a lot of time. You know that big, beautiful cemetery that's up in the hills behind the city?
Yes.
And if you go
Hillside.
Past that hills, oh my gosh, I got to tell you, I spent many hours in that cemetery praying the rosary, just walking along and thinking and praying the rosary. And I absolutely love that place. And I imagine
a lot of old monuments up there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, thank you, Rosemary. I appreciate your phone call. Nice to chat with you. 888-914-9149. George in Elgin, Illinois, you are on the air now. Welcome.
Hey, Pat, I was curious if, you know, we've talking about the abortion in Texas laws, but I was wondering if anybody has brought up or if you've seen the there's a new video that was circulating Facebook. At least I saw it yesterday, where a police officer is pulling over a mom and a daughter. And the presumption is that she or he mentions is she pregnant. And then all of a sudden it's like, get out of the car, you know, and that somehow that the police are going to arrest her. I was just curious if you saw that and what your comments are.
I have not seen that. I haven't even heard about it till you brought it up just now. It makes me wonder if that might be some propaganda video filmed to try to create panic over this new law. But no, I have not heard about that. If you have a link to it and you want to send it to me, you can send it to me on Twitter if you'd like. My address there is @PatrickMadrid, or you can go to the show page if you want to, relevantradio.com/Patrick, and send it to me that way. But I would be interested in seeing it.
It had a lot of, you know, to me, it seemed like this is where the propaganda engine is starting. You know, the back alley abortions. Look what we're going to come to.
Right.
It's like it's all ramping up.
Right. That is a very good point. Yeah. If you get people agitated, you can control them and direct their energies in the direction you want it to go. So, not having seen it yet, I can say that it could be something like that. But I do look forward to seeing it.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Mary in Pittsburgh, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say regarding the abortion law in Texas that we owe a lot of gratitude to those people who work tirelessly to put that, to get that law through. And I know they had to endure a lot of slings and arrows to do it. And I think hopefully they're setting a new course for this country. And I caught part of Sean Carney on the earlier show yesterday, and I just think you know, if people could hear him, they would realize that he is just all truth. You know, he's not doing anything. He doesn't have an agenda. He's just all truth. Everything he says makes so much sense. And I think people would really wake up if they heard him and say, ah, right, yeah, Pence and Pence have been lying to us all these years. How about that? And I do remember, I believe it was Mother Teresa's words, that abortion is the greatest evil of our time. And I do believe that. I think it's the most grievous sin of our time. And I think that we are all going to be held accountable for what we did or didn't do to encourage abortion or to discourage it.
That is true.
So, you know, I mean, if nothing else, getting involved with 40 Days for Life is always a good thing. But if nothing...
You're right. Mary, I've got to run, but you're right about that. Right, right, right. I agree with you. Thank you. I'll be right back with Hour 2 right after this. No, 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 no.